Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. That's right. If you have a smartphone, or not a smartphone, if you have one of those smart speakers, use them to say play 98.5 The Sports Hub, and there you go. That's in addition to the 98.5 The Sports Hub app that is available right now. Well, there are a lot of things in life to get upset about, a lot of things in the world that people are not overly thrilled about that are going on right now.
Yeah, quarterbacks dating porn stars, things like that.
Well, I mean, that trumps everything, is the quarterbacks dating porn stars. But nonetheless, our own Adam Jones, who's in for Rich today, was quite upset about something that occurred just a couple days ago. The Red Sox-Orioles game was rained out. The Red Sox were upset about it. They thought that they played a couple innings and they thought that it should have just been rained out. And why do I have to play these innings? David Price, if I'm not mistaken.
Not happy.
Got he was pitching looked, well. Looked
very well. 1-2-3 first, was off and running, and then couldn't pitch again.
Yeah, one whole inning.
Yeah.
All right. So here is Adam Jones from his show the other night expressing his frustration with the frustration of the Red Sox.
Yep. They're not going to pick it up middle of the game, Arc. I'm sorry to confuse everyone on that. David Price loses his one-inning no-hitter. Multiple Red Sox lose home runs, though you'll hear them coming up in the Dong Report. And my goodness, the crying coming out of Baltimore right now from the Red Sox.
Oh, poor little Red Sox got their game rained out. Life isn't fair.
All right, what are you doing?
What do you mean? What? It's not a little baby voice.
Being Pete Jones is what he's being. Right, that's what he's doing.
So you're saying that the Red Sox have angered you because they're complaining.
Yeah.
Okay.
What were the Orioles supposed to do?
I guess this. I suppose the argument was that they were not supposed to start the game.
Build a dome? Like what'd you want them to do? It wasn't raining when the game started.
All right. Well, you're not upset enough right now, so I want to keep playing with when you're upset.
Wayne was in the area and the game got canceled. Big mean Baltimore. Buck Showalter. I'll show you Buck Showalter. Game got canceled. We were winning 5-0.
Listen to this. Sean McAdam. Red Sox are livid with handling of weather postponement. An angry Alex Cora made his disappointment clear. Price refused to answer questions.
Ooh. Why is he mad? It's more Fortnite time.
Because he had it stupid. No, he was working.
I had it going, bro. I had it going.
Baltimore said, yeah, let's play it. And then they couldn't resume the game.
Mm.
So what do you think they were doing? You think Buck Showalter was tweaking you? Maybe. I mean, maybe I actually can see that. Buck Showalter may be tweaking the Red. He hates the Red Sox. They hate him right back.
Got to do something before he gets fired, right?
So maybe. I mean, maybe he's just tweaking them.
Oh, poor little Red Sox. The game got canceled. They wasted their time.
Cora continued via Chris Mason. I'm annoyed about the whole three-game series. Honestly, it was tough. Rick had to wait for a while in a game that with two outs in the first inning, there was a rain delay.
Why would the Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why? Life isn't fair.
Like, that's how they sound.
Were you really that upset about that?
It's not annoying when... So it rained. It's just... It's a natural thing that happens. It happens a million times a year across baseball. You got to cry about it when they bag the game?
Well,
you're going to beat the Orioles the next time you play. What are you upset about?
Because maybe they feel that the game should have never taken place and that in the time it took to agree to start playing the game and then its cancellation, that was unfair.
If there's rain in the first inning, I mean, they have access to satellite imagery. If there's rain and there's a rain delay in the first inning, maybe you delay the game until you know the shower is going to pass through. I think that's a legit complaint.
But I don't understand. What did they want to get home earlier? Like, do they just want to bag the whole game and leave a day? Or like Cora said prior to the game yesterday, well, you know, on
on Patriots Day, we canceled the game a whole day. Like, is that what they want? They just want to fly home early?
If you know the rain is coming and you know it's going to be at least a 2.5-3 hour wait, and it's obvious
it's coming.
The Orioles
are doing them a favor. Then you don't have to play a doubleheader in a month.
Don't start the game.
Because you know what's going to happen. When they play a doubleheader, they'll complain about that too. Oh, we got it. Well, now we got a doubleheader today. So which one is it? Do you not want your day packed with a doubleheader in August, or do you just want to try? They tried to get the game in. They couldn't get the game in.
They
what do you want?
They weren't going to get the game in. They knew that it at best case scenario, with the rain that was going through, they weren't going to be able to start until 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Either call the game or start it at 11, but don't play an inning and a half and then sit there.
It just feels like crying.
But Jones, if you start the game at 11, that's also not good. That's something that the team wouldn't enjoy.
No. What, we're starting the game at 11 now? Now we get home at we leave at 2 in the morning and we get home at 4 in the morning and now we don't get a good night's sleep and now they're never happy with any of this stuff. It rained. It rains a lot. It tends to rain throughout the baseball season. You play every day for 6 months. Some of your games are going to get rained out. I would spend less time crying about it. Now, in fairness, that sounds ironic since I spent, you know, the better part of an hour crying about it.
You did an hour on that?
Yes,
you
did. It was great.
It was developments over an hour. Like, first, you know, the game got called.
Right.
So we reacted to that.
No, he was on fire, Fred. He's underselling it.
Then the Red Sox were crying about it. So then we reacted to that. Then the Red Sox were crying because the rain stopped. They took the tarp off the field like 20 minutes after the game ended.
How long did the FUD voice last?
And then
long?
It's a long time.
Yeah, probably. I couldn't turn it off. It was great.
It's probably slightly on the long side.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
No, we're still playing.
Yeah, this is only a snippet. It was a good 2 or 3 segments. I would say it kept coming out. Yeah.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
Come on. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
I had a question for the idiot that was making the baby voice. I don't know, you know, imagine being a fan, right? Mm-hmm. And you're waiting, you go in there, you got to get up the next day at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, first inning, 2 hours later, you're still sitting, and then they finally call the game. And then you just go home frustrated and upset. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, what a lot of sports personalities do on the radio now, you know, they're all following Felger and they're trying to negative, get people to call in. I'm going to trash your Red Sox, I'm going to trash your Felger, I'm going to trash your Patriots. But can we get past that? I mean, we're all grown-ups here. I mean, can we start maybe acting like that? You're perpetuating the same thing that you have a problem with.
I think, I was acting like a giant baby. There's no argument there. I'll admit it. The Red Sox want our sympathy. You know, the Red Sox are like, oh, so life is so hard now that your game got rained out. Like, how did people act when the Yankees had to play 3 games in 24 hours? Remember that? They had to play 3 games in 24 hours. I thought there were a bunch of babies for whining about that. No one cared because it was the Yankees. You only care because it's the Red Sox.
Not that we know of. You know, that things leak all the time. Things don't leak. Sometimes whatever happens in the locker room. But, I mean, to hop on that and to carry it, I mean, it's been a couple of days now. I'll just let it go. And have a good one, guys.
Well, in fairness, I'm playing audio from a few days ago
It sounds like that guy's let it go.
Well, listen, no, he's reacting to what you just said.
Sure.
Perhaps he wasn't listening live when you actually did it.
But which is the great thing about it is it's the greatness of Jones is that to take a rain out after the first inning and get an hour of pure vitriol out of that is just fantastic.
And then there was the backlash from the people that were listening that carried him even further.
Well, that's the
idea. That was fantastic.
I mean, then you get people that are pissed off and you can tell them to go screw.
You're a genius. You are.
Well, let's not throw that word around.
Unappreciated genius in the evenings.
Let's not throw that word around so much.
Feel strong.
Well, actually,
I take it back. It feels not strong enough. What's stronger than genius?
I don't know.
Super genius.
Wile E. Coyote.
Super genius.
So how often do you get that upset on your show?
I don't know. Probably too often.
That to me was funny because It just seemed like such a minor thing.
Well, so what I usually lose my mind about is when I think there is hypocrisy, right? So like I just thought there was obvious hypocrisy compared to that Yankees thing that I just brought up.
You know,
3 games in 24 hours, and we all had fun. The Yankees were such babies. They're crying about this. Just play the schedule. You know, sack up and play the schedule. Then it happens to the Red Sox, and people are like, oh, this is unfair. I can't believe Baltimore would do this. So usually
you talk to people that thought that Yankees thing was fair. They totally got screwed.
I thought the Yankees, I said on the air, I thought the Yankees were being giant babies about it. Play your games.
Yeah, but if they give you a Sunday night game and then it turns out that you have to play three games in 24 hours, they have to start.
It's like Adrian Gonzalez all over again, right? Didn't Adrian Gonzalez whine about this? Like, oh, I hate playing in Boston because we have so many primetime games.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's part of the gig. Sorry. Like, right. That's unfortunate, but that's part of the gig. So usually when I lose my mind, I like to think anyway, it's based in that level of hypocrisy that usually annoys me.
Okay. But do you, when you hear that audio, are you still angry?
Less so. The caller got me a little fired up. But yeah, no, the audio less so.
How much crap do you get on Twitter?
Oh, it's a cesspool. It's ugly over there. I may have. Should I follow your methodology of just staying off altogether?
I stay off mentally. I stay off basically because I'm afraid of what I'll say. Because it seems like people just get in a lot of trouble. So I'm afraid that I'll say something that will get me in trouble. But other than that, having arguments on Twitter, there's no winning. And people are starting to figure that out.
Yeah.
If you argue, every time I argued with someone on Twitter, I woke up the next day and felt like an ass.
I'll get in there and I'll respond periodically.
Right.
But usually you don't feel great about it. You rarely win. Then you're Kevin Durant, right? Then you're Kevin Durant,
yeah,
chirping at every nobody out there.
Right. And then people are like, well, you got to get an account and follow people on Twitter. So I'm like, all right. And so I started an account that's locked and I have no tweets. I'll show it to you if you don't believe me. And
it's a burner. It's a Fred burner account.
I guess so. It's a burner account.
Ah.
It's a burner account with no tweets.
Nice.
But they're like, you got to follow people on Twitter. And honestly, I never check it. Like, I never even look at it. There's nothing I need to know on that. All I know is it gets people in trouble.
You don't want the Red Sox lineup? You don't need that?
No. I'll find that out in my own time.
How about who was in game pants on Patriots game day? You don't need that? It's good for that.
Oh, that's a shot at Jeff Howe. That's not right.
I don't know. I probably do need that, to be fair. All right. Guy Fieri was involved in something very exciting, and believe me, he took it to the extreme. But first, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It is so on like Donkey Kong. Jump over the barrel, grab the hammer, and save the jerk. The cheeky finds a sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork, it's in the Vega and get lit, what? Winner, winner, chicken dip!
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And is it still Shark Week, or was that before?
No, we're in the middle of Shark Week. We're ending it now.
Fantastic.
All right, so did you like it?
So far, no. The content hasn't been great. It's been a lot of, like, let's bring a celebrity on and tag sharks,
but
which is kind of boring.
But we were just talking about this off the air, Locker. It is new content.
It is, yeah. A lot of years they've just brought back stuff from years past and just said, here you go.
Right.
But no, this year it's
like
all
new stuff.
5 years
in a row of Megalodon.
Right, yeah. Right. The same movie over and over.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been great.
All right, so have they brought celebrities on before? Because it seems like they've kind of hit the lottery right here with who they have.
I think in years past there's been a couple, but this year it's just trotting out everybody.
Yeah, was it? No, they had the big Phelps versus
last
a shark,
year,
right?
Yeah, that
was last
year.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, Phelps versus a shark was the worst television ever.
Yeah.
Okay, there's two things that have been on television in the past 3 years that were revolting in their failure. One was the guy who said, hey, I'm going to let a snake eat me.
Yeah.
Because all he did was put his feet in a snake. And he built a stupid iron uniform.
It was like one of those 1920 scuba things that you'd see.
That's yeah, he right. had like
metal
some
yeah.
suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a suit on that was impenetrable. Yeah. And then he just let the snake eat his feet. And so what he should have done is let the snake devour him and then cut his way out of it. And then people get mad and they go, oh, well, the snake would crush him. No, he had a suit. All right, here's the show. Is that 90% of the show is him talking about this stupid. It talks about the snake and how tough the snake is, and look at me, it's a snake. Hey, look, it crushes people. Ah. And then he goes into like this suit of armor that he's got that he believes will leave him safe once the snake starts to strangle him from within.
And then people go, well, the snake wraps himself around the guy. No, it didn't. The snake swallow his feet, and then he pussied out of the whole thing. If you're going to do a show that was taped, by the way, if you're going to do a show called, hey, look at me, I'm getting ate by a snake, you let that bastard eat you.
Yeah. Right, not just your feet.
Plus, there's a bunch of people standing around who could cut you out. You chop off the thing's head.
You get a buck knife, maybe. A small buck knife.
Yeah, you go in with a buck knife, crocodile Dundee style, and then you rip that thing open. Yeah.
Short shorts only. Yeah. Just get in there in the mud pit and get swallowed by that snake.
First of all, there should have been no armor. Maybe a bike helmet.
Well, that's fair.
But that's all you get.
Yeah. Knee pads.
I mean, big deal. I'd let that. If I had a suit of armor, I'd let a snake eat me. I'd cut myself out of it. I'd make damn boots out of the thing.
So you didn't like that?
No. And then the second thing that sucked was the Phelps versus the shark. Now, if you didn't see it, the big thing was who could swim faster, Phelps or a shark? So they said he was going to swim against a shark. Now, what they did is Michael Phelps swam next to a computer illustration of a shark in the next lane. To which I would say, why didn't he just race a shark? I'm dead serious about this. I'm dead serious about the snake thing too, but I'm even more serious about this. If I'm the producer, I can figure out how to do it. Now, again, this isn't live. I have all the time in the world to get this done. You take a pool. You put a plexiglass thing that a shark can't, or whatever the hell it would be, that a shark can't penetrate. And then you chum the water at the end of the pool, and then you have a gate like they do for bull riding, and you go 1, 2, 3, and then you release it. Here comes the shark, here comes Phelps. I mean, that could be done. And say it doesn't work the first time, then you take a break.
I don't even think you need the plexiglass.
Then the shark could eat you.
Well, how fast is Michael Phelps? I mean, you've outfitted him. I saw this episode,
big,
too. You've outfitted him with a fin in the back to make him go faster. I mean, are you faster than a shark or not? Right?
Well, that's the thing is that I don't understand. Like, you can devise
plexiglass.
No.
Are you fast or not?
Is so the shark doesn't veer off course.
You have to have
the shark with two. It has to be like in almost a tube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it can swim through it.
Straight line speed, like a 40-yard dash.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the same pool as Michael Phelps. That's all you got to do. Instead, it was a cartoon. I mean, it said who could beat who? Wile E. Coyote,
right.
Or...
And Phelps just complained about how cold it was the whole time. He's like, boy, it's really cold in there. It's like, yeah, it's the ocean. It's not warm. I've been in the ocean before. It's cold. Boy, it's real chilly in there. Yeah, we got it.
Right. Go to Maine now and enjoy it. Well, the Fier man, my main man, Guy Fieri, who came up with trash can nachos, whatever the hell it's called. And, you know, he'll be like, hey, this is out of sight. Look at, check this out. It's chips, cheese, what have you. Give me money. Ooh. Look at this. It's jalapeno poppers surrounded by mozzarella sticks, surrounded by... damn spam.
They could have used that as the chum.
Yeah.
They could have. It's trash can nachos.
Brilliant.
That's my favorite thing in the world.
Cross promotion there.
Yeah. Hey, it's a trash can salad and fish. Just dump it out. Experience life of the homeless. Why not? Hey, it's dumpster diving with Guy Fieri.
Hey.
Our guest today is Eddie Money.
Oh, that's a good apple core. What are you going to do with that? Yeah. Apple cores, all right. Don't eat the seeds. You'll freak out. Yowza.
I kind of like this. I kind of like the cross promotion here, the crossing over.
Eddie Murphy, Guy Fieri. That's right, John.
Eddie.
Hey, you can even eat the mice that are running around. Not so fast there, little mouse. That's my chicken bone. Oh, you just eat the chicken bone like that full. It's good. And now it gets stuck in you for a while. It could hurt the pass.
but that's all right. The money man can pass anything. All right, let's go to Dale. Dale, go ahead.
All right. First, I just got a quick question. Who chooses the music in the beginning? So we're put on that Lucchini song. Shout out to them. Great song.
It's me, my friend. Awesome. I have picked out these songs. Thank you.
Great choice. Great choice. Anyway, so I just want to say Shark Week is a freaking joke. All right. Like, I get things like the World Cup and the Olympics where, you know, every 4 years comes around, pretend to care, gets pretty exciting. Shark Week is every single year. How much new information comes out about sharks? You can look up videos of sharks jumping out of the water any time of the year. Year to year, it's the exact same thing. The hype is so ridiculous. Shark Week's a joke. That's all I got.
Yeah, go to Cape Cod and enjoy what the environment's turned into. Go and tell yourself that this is healthy. This is the way we should be living. All right, we'll take a quick break with the headlines and come back, and we'll play the Fear Man in his trash can nachos. He tries to feed him the shark, and the shark runs away. Hey, check it out. Here's some trash can nachos. Whoopsies. All right, we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Apparently, Shark Week is still going on, and they've had celebrities on. We're going to get to Guy Fieri in just a moment. Eddie, go ahead.
So I can't comment on the snake in the diving suit comment, but for sharks, I believe at the time the Phelps versus Shark thing was billed as a great white. But it would be obviously a logistical nightmare. I believe the all-time record for a shark in captivity is like 40 days or something, and that's in a million-gallon tank. So you might need two and then a strip of a pool to swim through, but I'm with you either way. It just shouldn't have went down like that.
I would have put it in the damn ocean. Not even captivity, just have it in the damn ocean. Kyle, go ahead.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned Guy Fieri. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Maybe you are, and I apologize. But a few years ago, he opened a restaurant. It was Guy's American Kitchen.
Right.
And somebody beat him to the URL. So what happened was they put up a fake menu on this. All the website was. It was guysamericankitchen.com. It's still, I think the website's been taken down, but you can still find this menu online if you Google it, and I think you'd really enjoy it. It is quite funny.
That'd be a good contest if it was off the fake menu or the real menu. Because the guy's menu, he has trash can nachos. So anyway, the Shark Week people are looking for celebs. We've heard Rob Gronkowski, obviously. And so they're looking for some celebs to get some things done. And so they bring in Fieri. Now, what are they doing here, Mike? They're tagging these sharks?
Yeah, it's very similar to what Gronk did there. You know, he's getting... you know, fitted with the suit to go in there. He swims down there with them, and then they start tagging.
Did he demand flames on the suit?
I'm sure he did. I don't know. They didn't put that on the actual show.
They had to get some way to attach the sunglasses to the back of his head.
Yeah.
All right, so here we are. Here is the great Guy Fieri on Shark Week.
This is like going into a jungle that I don't think anybody's, you know, most folks have never touched. Well, 1% of the population's ever been down with sharks. So.
This is part of the jungle?
Yep.
Yeah,
it's part of the jungle.
My kitchen's the jungle. Everything's the jungle. You don't think that, really, Guy? You think that not many people have gone down there and hung out with sharks?
1%.
It's the 1%ers are the only ones. I remember when I was a humble guy in San Jose with just one restaurant. It was a pizza sushi restaurant. All right, here's Guy Fieri continuing.
It's like underwater Jurassic Park.
It's exactly what it's getting ready to feel like.
They're like really polite predators, but when they're not, you could lose a hand. Worst case scenario, you could die.
Did we just really breeze over the maybe lose a hand or die?
I might as well die if I lose my hand. That's bread and butter.
It's money maker.
Yeah, I mean, how can I make trash can nachos with one hand?
Who am I going to throw frozen dinners to?
Remember one time I burned my hand on the burner one time, and I was out of commission. I was on the DL.
Yeah, that's right. They said, Guy, can you ever do it again? I said, I'm going to get through this shift, mama. A lot of people need these jalapeno
with donkey sauce appetizers.
Doing it for the people.
That's my donkey sauce hand.
Sometimes you do get bit.
No, they don't. They're going to put Guy... I mean, give me a break. They're going to put Guy Fieri somewhere where you can get... Sometimes people get bit.
Yep. Don't put your hand outside the cage.
Right. Like, you know, our people that went through your representatives put you in a situation where you could lose a hand. That's my hand that Sammy Hagar signed. It's my shredding hand.
Hey, do not get bit. Your mom will kill me.
I just learned how to dive. Got certified maybe 30 minutes ago.
I'm told that the Caribbean reef shark pretty much rules the reefs.
And I'm the Caribbean reefer shark. I like how he does his own voiceover, too. Is his kid with him?
Yes.
His kid's with him, like, everywhere
now.
Yeah,
he loves bringing him around.
How old's the kid? I'm unfamiliar
with
the kid.
He had to be... Around 18-ish, 16, 18.
Okay. Does he have the frosted tips?
No, he didn't.
That's too bad.
He's a civilian.
Does he rebel against his dad in all the worst ways?
Yeah, he's an accountant. My hair, Dad. He rebels against his father. He wears Brooks Brothers. He's an accountant. He doesn't want to be a part of that.
No.
You could lose a hand. No, you really can't.
It's the badass of the ecosystem.
It's like me in the kitchen. Jesus.
Top of the food chain.
That's right. Top of the food chain. There I am. This is the Camaro of beasts.
He's like the chef. I'm like the dishwasher.
This is the Ronnie Montrose.
Ronnie Montrose.
That's right. That's who Sam is saying fall.
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Little band called Montrose.
The badass of the ecosystem.
That's right, guy. Bad ass.
Awesome.
And now, my friend, it's time to hit shots.
Crazy. Guy's first feeding frenzy can be summed up in one word.
Trash. Again, that'd be so funny.
Another satisfied customer.
If he just released all the food into the ocean, like all the sharks just scattered.
Everybody goes belly up, they're all dead.
Right.
All the sharks just swam away.
What happened to that Caribbean reef shark?
Congenitive heart failure.
Gnarly.
All right, so the first dive's done. Now, what I found out is the Caribbean reef sharks love to devour grouper and yellowtail. And I mean, really, who could blame them?
That's right.
That's right.
Hey. Give me that grouper.
But as a chef, what I really want to know is what recipes will make these shark-toothed locals come back for more. Now, our team has put together...
Shark tooth, that's what he's got around his neck.
You gotta eat that shark tooth. Hey. What are you doing with that perfectly good chum? You can just you eat a lot of it, and then you put the rest around your body so you can catch maggots and stuff.
Oh,
those are good maggots.
High in protein,
huh?
Maggots are high in protein.
As long as they fill the belly. Oh, the best day was when I had a tapeworm and it came out right back where you came from. My friend missed a tapeworm.
Sharktooth locals come back for more. Now our team has put together an epic menu to see which of these 200-pound chumsicles the sharks will dig most. First course, conch. Not part of their normal diet because of their hard shell, but definitely a seafood delicacy. Second...
Where'd you get yourself that conch? conch is $5 million a pound. That's why they fry it. It's a $1 million delicacy.
And when you take the meat out, you can hear the ocean.
That's right. Or you can blow into it. Scoot-a-doo-hoo. That's my call. Trash cans nachos are ready.
Not part of their normal diet because of their hard shell, but definitely a seafood delicacy. Second course, grouper. This is their daily dish. They know it, and they love it. And the main entree, ooh, barracuda.
Those are the bloody
oysters. Oh, hell yeah. Heart, baby. You know, I gave Ann Wilson a ride one day.
Oh, really? What year was that?
Let's just put it this way. She couldn't fit in the back of the Marrow. I had to get an Astro van.
Submerged her in water.
Let's recreate the video for these dreams.
Ooh, barracuda.
Those are the bloody, oily fish that they really, really love.
It just makes you want to dig right in and get a taste, doesn't it?
Well, I will walk home if you take a finger in that and take a little slurp.
Oh?
Get that big one. Come on. All right. Good move.
That was good.
Like he's at your maze to eat crap.
Good.
Ha! So when does this whole thing end, Mr. Lockhart?
I think it's Sunday. Saturday or Sunday, one of the two.
All right.
Wait, all of Shark Week?
Yeah, it started last week.
I didn't know if we were getting little installments of Guy Fieri.
I wish.
It's just a
Fieri Fest.
Fieri Fest. Yeah. It's a Fieri marathon. Yeah.
Maybe they'll do Fieri Week next year instead of Shark Week.
Well, listen, that would be nice. All right.
So Fieri Week.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Ultimate Townie Contest starts on Monday, which means entries before that are not valid. If you've sent in an entry for the Ultimate Townie Contest, have no fear. Just on Monday, send it in again. Why, you would say? Why do I have to do that? And to that, I would say, laws, lawyers, who the hell knows? But we are looking for the Ultimate Townie, and we've done this before. We've met the pasta guy. We've met a Bird's friend who had Everett tattooed on his stomach. And the good news is that if you get first place in the Ultimate Townie Contest, if you win, ultimately win, you get $1,000. Second place gets $500. And we'll figure something out for third place. Here's how you get involved. Starting Monday, make a video. 2 minutes maximum. And so that's the deal. 2 minutes maximum. And again, because of legal issues, if you go over 2 minutes, they're not going to be able to take it. Again, why? Law. Submissions use Twitter only, and they must tag, you must tag at 98.5 the Sports Hub and use the hashtag Ultimate Townie Contest. You got to be 21 years or of age or older. You got to be from Massachusetts, and you can get details at 98.5thesportshub.com.
You think the people who get there early to run in at Gillette, you think that'd be a good place to find Ultimate Townies?
Yeah, because if not maybe the first day, but if you're, you know, going a couple days in a row, you're probably not working so much.
Yep.
So I would guess that that's probably a good test for the people. Yeah, I would think that would be a good place to find someone. So starting Monday, send those in, and you could get $1,000. We've met guys that had
a lot of training camp money.
That's a lot of money to go to training camp with. There's no question about that.
Your Bass Pro Shop and everything else down there.
Huh. Well, the Bass Pro Shop is the jam. Mm-hmm. You can go in there. You can fish. You can do whatever you like. All right. So we've done this a little bit. Let's try to finish it up. Jimmy Garoppolo dated some porn girl. They went on a date. They went to a restaurant. And people are flipping out because I guess there's not much more to talk about. We're talking about it. But the reactions to him going out with this porn star are great. And here is Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd covering this.
All right, Cowherd, does this put the Jimmy G-string controversy to bed?
It does. That's PR 101. That is, own it, apologize, I'm done with it. Everybody says... It's no big deal. Ask yourself this. We're all on our phone tonight, okay? And you push a wrong button.
I've done this.
And you put porn on your Twitter.
Oh, I have.
What'll the reaction be on the internet? Oh, man. It won't be like just a picture of your sister or your dog. Greg Jennings, look at it, porn. Oh, my God. Porn's different. It's not Meryl Streep, okay? Like, everybody tells me, porn, it's just the adult film. franchise quarterback porn star. I'm sorry, they don't work. That's like tuna fish ice cream. Oh, I like tuna fish and ice cream. I don't like them together.
I do like sushi and ice cream.
I've had them together. listen, I don't think this puts it to bed, though.
Really?
Yeah, no, I really don't. I think he handled it well. He did what he was supposed to do. But the only thing that's going to put it to bed is great play.
Yeah.
That's how you put a situation to bed in his situation. If he does not play well, he has exposed something about himself that will be used against him. He's got a freaky side, a real freaky side. And that, again, it's going to be like, is he distracted? Is he, does he have some kind of addiction issue? Is he Tiger Woods?
So by going out with a porn star at 26 years old and single, if he has a bad game, you're going to have to think if he has an issue or a sexual addiction.
Right. What are you watching? You watching film? You watching porn? What are we doing here, Jim?
As opposed to, you know, most men who find someone attractive and would like to sleep with them, he might have a problem. And the evidence is there. If anything, the evidence is counter to everything. It seems like he knows very little about what should be going on. I mean, taking a porn star out to dinner just seems nice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
He didn't, like, objectify her or anything. He took her out to dinner. It seems almost...
And it wasn't to, like, Guy Fieri's restaurant. It was, like, a nice place.
Yeah, it seems almost quaint that, you know, he was unaware that the paparazzi was going to be there. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't think it would be a big deal.
I hope these two kids make it.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be together forever.
I think there's something there, Fred.
Just like the idea, especially the ex-NFL players that are on the panel, that as if they haven't done something similar to that. That if you're famous, that you would go through, you know, if you found someone attractive on Instagram or something like that, or watching a porno, that you wouldn't say to yourself, oh, I could get that woman. Hmm. What amount of male celebrity do you think has had sex with a porn star?
Ooh, a percentage?
Like people like Los Angeles actors that have been, you know, they didn't, it's not like someone who hit it when they were 45. I'm talking about someone who was in their 20s and became famous.
100%?
That's not far off.
95%.
Well, because there's a porn star saying she slept with Trump. I mean, people like that.
If you're,
porn stars a lot of time are attractive. They want to have sex with them.
I understand it. But if you're in this particular case, if you're an actor or an actress and you're famous or you're a famous athlete or whatever, and you have great looking woman in L.A. specifically, great looking woman coming out of the woodwork and hitting on you and throwing themselves at you, and you don't have to work at all to go get a porn star, why would you bother?
Because he didn't have to do anything, most likely. I'm guessing that he saw her in a film. Or one of his friends showed her on Instagram. He sent out a friend request. She looked at it. She realized who he was. I'm guessing that they talked on Instagram and he said, let's meet here. And they went out and that was it. Doesn't seem like a lot. I mean, he was attracted to her. He saw her have sex. He said, I like this. I like the way that you have sex. I mean, it's not much more than that.
Maybe it took him back a little bit, right? She's 41, he's 26. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he's very involved in the MILF culture.
Yeah, maybe it was a little bit of a throwback.
Yeah.
Maybe
he enjoyed it.
I've been watching your work for a long time.
Yeah, it's Throwback Tuesday. Let's go.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play well, all these questions are going to be asked. Oh. He put it out there.
Yeah.
We wasn't monitoring. We were all minding our own business. And he put his business out on the street.
So they're 6-1. And he goes out on a every.
So the problem is not that he was out with a porn star. The problem is that he was out with a porn star.
Yeah.
That he was nice enough to take her to dinner.
Yeah. If he just did it under a cloak of secrecy, no big deal. You take her out to dinner. Everybody knows about it. That's the problem.
Well, then you put your biz in the street.
Yeah. It's out in the street. Yeah.
And if you're saying things like you put your biz in the street, you shouldn't have a problem with someone that's screwing a porn star.
Putting your biz out there.
Yeah. You're putting your biz in the street.
Just flapping in the breeze.
So they're 6-1, and he goes out on every Saturday with a different porn star. You don't think that's a national story?
No, come on, Kyle.
You don't think so?
Yeah, he can't do that. I mean,
well, why can't he? I mean, it's just, you know, it's adult videos. We all watch them.
Yes, he can't do that. He literally can't do that. It would just be awful for him. Meanwhile, every actor, every musician, all those things, what the hell's the difference? Well, he's the face of an NFL franchise. Okay. Well, what do I tell my kids? Nothing.
Right. Right. It's not like he's married.
No.
No. I don't think he was dating. I don't know. He had been dating a chick previously. Don't think that's happening anymore. So what?
I don't know. I'll say it again. One of the funniest things to me is like, what am I going to say to my kid? And it's like, well, if your kid's young enough to care about what Garoppolo's doing, my advice would be to say nothing.
Well, my kid asked me, time to show him the whole Kiara Mia catalog.
Exactly.
Time to sit down and show them all the work. All right. They asked.
All right, here. Let's just introduce you to the internet and everything that lies in it.
I have no choice now.
What do I tell my kid? How about a big bag of nothing? You say nothing.
Kid, put our biz out in the street. Time to show him everything.
Well, if his mom doesn't approve, then we'll just elope.